Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a queer and Latinx podcast where we talk about things like...
Test from Raven's home.
Hey.
It's Raven's home.
Hey.
I know she's queer, but the directors don't want to admit it. I can't rap. I'm sorry. I'm never going to do that again. No, yeah. But seriously, like, this is, like, the toughest, baddest bitch ever. Like, and she's, like, this little kid, like, a 12, 13-year-old. And I swear to God, she's got to be gay. Like, if she's not, the fuck did she even cast her for? Like, what'd she even do? Like... Me and, like, my grown-ass friends have been, like, obsessed with this show for no reason, and I gotta say, this first spinoff is pretty damn good.
It's on Disney Channel, guys. So.
But it's pretty damn good.
So you
it's
know really I haven't funny. Watched it.
And it's, like, the closest thing that they can get to, like, a two-mom household. Like, but they do have some, like, queer undertones, and I truly feel like Tess is Corona.
What's poppin', chingona?
Too many drinks.
Yeah, this is definitely not going to be one of those episodes where I'm sober.
It's going to be one of those, like, bad girls club throwing hands episodes is what it's going to be.
Except we're both the girl that sits down and starts watching the fight.
We're both the ones that, like, stew in our hatred instead of throwing hands.
No, I'm the one watching. Like, I'm not fighting anybody. I'm sitting down just going,
well, that's what they do. They sit down and they sit back, but they stew in their hatred. Like, I binge watched season 9 mm-hmm. of Bad Girls Club in basically a sitting. Like,
what made you do that, though? Like, what inspired you to watch Bad Girls Club?
I've just generally been into, like, trying to get into trashy reality TV because it seems to be the... It's the only thing
it's
that
the future.
It's the only thing that I can actually escape, right? Like, if I watch regular TV shows, like what I'm going to be talking about today, like Claws,
mm-hmm.
I'm too busy, like, reading into it and, like, kind of, like, trying to get information on these characters because, like, they reveal information so slowly. So when I watch trash reality TV, like... It's truly an escape. It's just so trash. And all you do is just, like, go, ooh, no, she didn't, the entire time.
Oh, and guys, she's not exaggerating. Like, I have a ban against reality TV, and she just told me to watch it. And I legit couldn't stop watching
it. She pulled up, like, a video on YouTube, and I couldn't get her attention for 20 minutes.
I, like, legit ignored her while me and Joe were just like, ooh, she just did that. Oh, my God. Yeah. So
it's
you guys
so trash. It's so bad.
It's ridiculous.
Like, honestly, I wasn't watching it because, well, okay, so the only, like, I don't like reality TV. Like, I like scripted television shows. It's what I want to do, like, one day. It's all I've ever loved. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, it's gotten to that point, and just watching it is such an escape for me. I don't know. It's that type of thing where it's like nothing is as dramatic as real life.
True.
Even though, of course, like,
this shit is scripted, though, isn't
it? It's not scripted, but it's definitely the producers, you know, they manipulate it. I don't know if you guys have seen Unreal, but that kind of gives you a little insight into how
they manipulate
these people so badly. Yeah, there's little whisperings, and the editing, of course, comes into play. But the reason what I started was Reality Housewives of Dallas. Sorry, Reality. Real Housewives of Dallas.
Were they in Highland Park?
No, actually, there were, like, a lot in the outskirts. Actually, season 2...
Like, Flower Mound?
Like, Plano and shit.
What the
fuck?
Like,
all over,
even
like,
Dallas.
All over the place.
Oh, wait, you couldn't get someone from Highland Park to agree.
No, the second season, they finally got, like, two people that were Highland Parky or whatever.
What?
Yeah, and they both try so hard to not be the trashy ones. Like, it's actually hilarious. I love Real Housewives of Dallas. Like, that's my number one. Because I tried to watch the Beverly Hills one and I don't like it as much. Next I'll probably watch Atlanta, and then,
oh my god,
that,
dude, you should have began with Real Housewives of Atlanta, because
no,
Nene,
because you have to work up to the good
is
stuff.
A classic. You have to no. See, well, no, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
you
right.
Work up to the good stuff. But the reason that I got, like,
but
sidetracked,
I don't watch that shit. So
I was getting in an argument with my friend Abel, who's passed out on the couch over here. About how there's no gay people. He's like, there's no gay people on reality TV or something like that. And I was just like, I'm gonna fucking find it. So I did. Bad Girls Club is the fucking gayest thing I've ever seen.
It really is. Shout
it's
out to
so
Bad Girls
gay.
Club.
Because I came into season... I started watching season 5 and I didn't finish it because it was kind of boring. And then I started watching season 9 and I binge watched it with my friend Cordarian because he recommended it or whatever.
Cordarian, like, recommended it.
Yeah, Cordarian loves reality TV. Like, that's his jam. Like, yeah, not just RuPaul's, guys. Shout out to our former our Cabrones y Chingones episode. That's the one that he was on. He talked about RuPaul.
Man, shout out to him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So we sat together and we watched it all day long. And it was kind of unexpected because they bring in, and I already knew that they were going to bring in a lesbian as one of the replacement girls, like towards the end of the season. And they did, and homegirl like came in and like fucking turned out two girls in the same night. two girls that are like supposedly straight, like they claim to be straight or whatever, and like same night, like just one after the other.
Sexuality is fluid.
Yeah. So but what really caught me off guard is the one girl who I actually hated the most, the absolute most of all the girls, ended up low-key falling in love with one of the other girls.
Wait, so was she with like an openly queer woman or no?
The bitch, the one that I fucking hated, she was openly bisexual.
Okay.
But she didn't really say it till the end. But who did she? And then the other one, she kind of came from like a Northern African country and mm-hmm. very strict parents. And she like herself identified as straight or whatever. So the whole thing was really confusing for her. Aww. But it ended up being like a whole storyline for her. And it was just, I don't know, it caught me off guard because I was like, oh, Zuli's the gay one. It's going to be all about her. But they, towards the end, they kind of cut Zuli out of the scene because she wasn't dramatic. She was just kind of like sleeping with everybody. But it wasn't dramatic. It was just like she was just doing it.
It was just regular.
Yeah,
you know,
she was just really
owning her sexuality. She was
just kindly just fucking everybody.
That's lit. I'm into it. That's lit as fuck.
So they kind of didn't really put much of her after that. After that, the drama was Julie and Fallon, who are like secretly like falling in love and shit.
Oh my god. see you guys, crazy. Can't you understand why like she told me this and then I was like, wait, what?
Yeah,
I opened my phone so quick and started watching and was like, for real?
Stranger than fiction, man.
But good movie. But anyways,
but yeah, it's, I don't know, I've been so into fucking trashy fucking TV. And then like, of course, you know, there's plenty of like POC people in that, like, but I've been watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Dallas. It's just white people everywhere.
Gross. And yeah, that's not what Dallas looks like, by the way.
Oh dear god, no. And you know what was funny is at the reunion for the season one of Real Housewives of Dallas, some, like, that was one of the questions, because you get fan questions or whatever, and there was just like, what do you say to all the people who are out there saying you do not represent Dallas? And one of the housewives was just like, no fucking shit. Like, duh, of course not. I'm like a rich ass white bitch. Like, I do not represent Dallas at all. I'm getting paid to like film my life. Of course I don't fucking represent Dallas. And that was the end of it.
Good. At least she was aware that like she didn't.
At least they know.
I mean, the rich people in Dallas are.
There's a little bit of a queer undertone to the Dallas housewives, which is why I love it so much, by the way. I'll tell you about that later because we don't got time.
Oh, I'm excited. Okay, cool. You tell me about that.
I love it. Jesus juice, for those of you that understand what I'm talking about, if you've seen the show. Anyways, we have a good show today. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I finally watched a classic.
Yeah, I was just like, so I want to, so, or actually a couple of people, somebody on Twitter and then one of my friends told me to review Claws. So I kind of did it as a requested type of thing, which you guys can do. Like, send me a message. I'll Mike the Panda on Twitter.
Yeah, at Mari Mar. We got you, girl.
Like, yeah, she sent in some stuff. That's not who requested it, though.
Oh, who requested it? Shut him out.
I'd have to go into, like, Twitter history. I have no idea.
But shout whoever out to you. Are, shout out to you.
I'm going to check it out. I checked it out because of you and because of Cordarian. He's just throwing out the suggestions.
Yeah.
And that's why I watched it. And then, of course, I was like, a perfect movie to pair with this. What it's given me the vibes of is Set It Off. So I told Cynthia to check it out, and she was down as fuck.
Yeah. So, okay. So my hood card was almost taken away.
For not having watched it until, like,
I lived 26 years without watching Set It Off. And, you know, I
went 24. So
you went 24?
Or 23.
I mean, I probably... No, I definitely didn't watch this. I would have remembered Queen in it. Because she is a national treasure in this fucking movie.
She is boss as fuck. And then, like, now she's, like, pretty openly queer.
Openly queer. But, I mean, back then, people knew, but people just acted...
I didn't know.
Like, they didn't. What? You were shooketh when you said...
I had no idea.
Dude,
she just casually came out. Like, it was the most casual coming out.
I was little and I knew, like, I watched Living Single and I knew she was queer. I was like, no idea. Like, her sensibilities are like mine. Like, we give no fucks about, like, things that straight girls would care about.
Like, it's just, I keep saying this in many episodes, but, like, I didn't even know I was gay. So there was no way in hell. I didn't even think Ellen DeGeneres was gay until I found out when I was 15.
Wait.
Yeah, so my gaydar was nothing.
My gaydar has always been so strong. Like, I've never been wrong in my life.
I wasn't born with it, man.
Really?
With the gaydar.
I mean, I think now it's broken, but like for 25 years,
like, it's like stuck on gay.
Yeah. Like now I just think everyone's gay, even if you're not. Sorry. That's a good thing.
So Set It Off came out of what year? I forget.
Like, Set It Off came in 96. So I was like,
dude, I was four five? Entire years old. But this five. Shit, it doesn't, ages well.
It ages. Yeah. It ages perfectly.
Like this movie could have been released now. Mm.
The sad part is that, yes, a lot of the themes in the movie touch upon what's exactly happening now, which just shows you that shit ain't changed in 20 years. Like, 96 to 2017, 21 years, not much shit has changed, you guys. Like, there's huge themes in it, but, you know. Set It Off came out in 96 and is directed by Gary Gray, the same dude who made Friday. He wanted to, like, separate himself from, like, comedic movies and into something a little bit more serious. So he took on Set It Off that was written by a POC, a black woman, and she wanted to tell the story of like modern women in 96. So the story is based around four friends that are in the same place in life, essentially. So Queen Latifah.
Essentially, I'm drinking.
There we go. Okay, I drank too. So Queen is a butch lesbian national treasure, AKA, her name's Cleo. Jada is the most sensible of the four women. Her name, her nickname is Stony. I'm assuming because they like to get high. Vivica Fox, her name is Frankie. She starts off the movie working at a bank as a bank teller. Shout out to her. And then there's Kimberly Release. She was also, if you're familiar with Diary of a Mad Black Woman, she is the lead actress in that movie, and she's played by her character is TT in this movie. She's a single mother with a baby. And what I really liked about this movie is it's just about women empowerment and women taking back who they are in society after society's told them no over and over again. They take back their power. So I'm really into that. It starts off with a bank robbery. With Vivica, whose character is Frankie, she works at a bank, and some dudes from her neighborhood pull up into the bank like they're gonna rob it. And she knows these dudes. She's like, "Hey, man, you don't have to do this. Like, I know where you live. You don't have to fucking rob the bank right now." And she's kind of like reacting in the same way that I feel like I would if I saw my homie from back in the day, like from like I don't know middle school, robbing the bank I'm working at. Like, you don't want them to do it. You're pissed. You're like, really, dude? Like, you fucked it up for everyone. So they rob this bank. And what I find really interesting is the scene right after it, she gets interrogated by a white detective and a black woman detective. And they are repeatedly blaming her because the bank got robbed. And I feel like that's not something that would happen now, but that's what I'd like to think. But the reality is that maybe this society now hasn't changed much, that you would still blame a black woman for something that she had no control over. Just because she knew this guy doesn't mean she had anything to do with the bank robbery. So the detective, I think his name is McGinnis. Mm-hmm. You've seen him everywhere. He's like the Irish guy who's in everything. I don't pay attention to him because fuck him. I don't care about him. Fuck him. He blames Vivica Fox for it getting robbed. Because she didn't work well under pressure. Fuck that. Like, you get nervous like a human being. She got treated without any kind of humanity, got fired from her job. Now she's out of a job. So what she does is she goes and starts working with Stony and Queen and TT. And they clean offices at night. Shout out to all the moms out there that have cleaned offices at night, including my mom. Like, I really liked how this story was realistic. Like, they're in L.A., they're cleaning offices to get by at night. Like, shout out to everybody who's cleaning offices. I love y'all. Like, much respect to y'all. Rob more banks. Anyways, don't rob banks. Don't rob banks. It's not worth it. This movie is telling you it's not worth it.
I just don't want you guys to get hurt. Like, you're going to get shot by these fucking police. Like, don't do that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's trash because they're bringing up themes that are still present to today, like police brutality, women just trying to get by. So Jada Pinkett is the most sensible character, and she's... All of these women basically get pushed into a desperate situation. Vivica Fox gets fired from her bank teller job. and ends up working with these lovely ladies. Jada's little brother is trying to go to college, and she needs to come up with money quick. So what she does is she gives in to a creepy older man who's soliciting her for sex. She gives in, bangs the dude out for some quick cash for her brother so he can go to college. Turns out her brother didn't get into college, and she fucked a creepy old man for no reason. So that's on top of... But, you know, shout out to her having all of the consent in this. Like, she decided to have sex with him, so no shame to her.
No, you know? Of course not. It's just, I feel bad for her.
The only icky part about it is that you know she didn't want to. Like, shout out to the women who want to have sex with men for money and they get paid. But Jada Pinkett wasn't... Her character, Stoney, it's not like she was doing this and felt empowered by it. It was the opposite. She felt like she had something taken away from her. So, no shade to sex workers, but, like, for Stoney's character, for her, it was degrading. Not saying that it is for everyone, just for her. And so she's kind of left in a desperate situation as well, because it gets worse. So her brother happens to know the guys who robbed the bank, and her little brother goes and hangs out with them. And while he's there, he decides to get a haircut just like one of the gang members. And this is how the cops are identifying him. That's how they're finding him, by this haircut. It says, I think it's AG. That he gets, or some like AG on the back of his head. He gets it, like, you know, a design, which is known, you know, in the hood you can get, you know, the Dallas outline, you can get the Mavs sign, you get the Cowboys star, you know,
the whole fucking outline.
The hood has always been about this, you know, you get you flashy with your hair, you got to do it.
Right.
But in this case, it goes completely, utterly wrong. He steps out, and apparently the cops had found one of the bank robbers and confused him for one of the bank robbers. So in another case of police brutality, and unarmed black man gets killed. He gets killed early on in the movie by the same evil cop that got Vivica's character, Frankie, fired from the bank. This, like, he's an unarmed black man getting killed. So Jada Pinkett, here we go, another woman, completely pushed, completely broken. Her brother died. She just had sex with an old creepy man for money that she didn't really want to do. So she has nothing at this point. She has no family. Her parents died early. She has nothing. Now, queen, let's get to the best fucking character in this movie, who I adore and love and my heart goes out to. Cleo is the best fucking character in this movie because she's an openly butch black woman, which is, like, super rare even now. Like, what, Lena Waithe was the only last person? Can you think of anyone else like that?
Well, the Klaus character that I'm going to talk about later.
Cool. There's another one. But, like, that's not many characters out there of butch black representation. And so what I really love about her character and her friends is they normalize this. Like, her girlfriend comes by and, like, they don't make a big deal about it. They're just like, oh, she has another girlfriend? Ugh, eye roll. She's running through these girls. But it wasn't like they weren't disgusted by it. They weren't grossed out. They were just like, damn, girl, you got another one? Like, I love that shit. Like, it's whatever. She was an openly butch character. I'm down for it. And she's kind of like the favorite character. She's the friendliest character. She's getting everyone high all the time. She's stealing cars. She's the only one with a record as well. And so I love her and introduction to her queerness, where the girl just walks up to her and kisses her. And that's like in 96.
Not that you like need it, like you just look at her and you're like, okay, she's gay.
I mean, yeah, you would assume. Yeah, she's a butch woman, you know, but she gets this like beautiful girl. Anyways, queen is awesome. Now, TT is the other character, and she is in a desperate situation as well, because she takes her son to the job, and her son accidentally drinks some chlorine, some Clorox. He poisons himself at the job, and then CPS takes away her child. So now all these women are in these interesting situations. Now, Cleo and Queen's character, she just wants a new lowrider, She ain't really no problem with her. She just wants a better car and, like,
I get it,
to make her life easier. But all these other women are kind of going through some shit. So they're kind of left to, like, with no option, until Frankie says, fuck it, I know how to rob a bank. I used to work there. Let's just do it a better way. And so they here they go. Here are these black women reclaiming their power and taking back what society has taken away from them. You know, their child, their job, their fucking family members. And Cleo, I don't know, her independence?
Man, she's just like doing her.
Cleo's like, fuck this.
We don't need a fucking excuse to make some money.
Fuck that. Cleo just wants some money. She's about it, okay? And she's the fun, interesting, funny character. So they go on this bank robbing spree, and they rob about 4 or 5 banks. By the end of it, they get a little cocky. They're like, fuck it, like, we got money, let's just keep doing this shit, like, we're getting away with it better than
they should have stopped.
Than everyone. And you know, I think in the special, like the DVD extras for Set It Off, they said that they were allowed to make this low budget film as long as they didn't glorify bank robbing. So part of the clause that they had to make, because this movie was supposedly high risk for Hollywood because it was an all black female like main cast, so it was risky. So they said, okay, well, you can't glorify bank robbing, so you have to make it have a realistic ending where they don't get away.
Oh my god, so is it like you can only like basically like a super like the perfect formula to have like 4 independent amazing black women as leads of a movie is if Jada's in the movie.
Of course, Jada and Queen are like the only, like, if you're gonna have
one or both.
Exactly. If you're gonna have strong black women, you have to have Queen or Jada, and then if you want to make it even better, but both of them. And Jada was just coming off like her A Different World role, and Queen was shooting a Living Single at the same time, and they even said that they scheduled around Living Single just so they could have her in this movie. And none of these actresses were doing it for the money, because this was a low budget like indie film at the time,
which doesn't seem like it. Like, looking back at it now, you're just kind of like,
it was so like, well done,
Hollywood, man.
It was so well done. But actually, a lot of those bank robbing scenes and car chasing scenes were one fucking take. And that just tells you how amazing POC women are, because this shit was one take. He didn't have money in the budget to shoot more than once. And these cars say, like, cars are going through banks. Cars are, like, doing high chase. Like, there's helicopters. Like, no. He had money, but not a lot. He said it was all one shot. So, because of the stipulation that you couldn't have a completely happy ending with these women, of course, spoiler alert, all of them die except Jada.
Ugh.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But you know the best death, and I'm gonna give it to her, is fucking Cleo. Queen dies like a fucking thug. Okay, oh, that bitch rode out for her friends like I ain't never seen nobody ride for her friends. She also didn't have that much to lose except her beautiful girlfriend, which
man, Thelma and Louise ain't got nothing on them.
Thelma and Louise ain't got nothing on these 4 badass bitches.
I do love that movie though.
I've never seen it.
It's so good.
Is it queer? Ugh. Does that have queer undertones?
No, it's more feminist than anything.
Ah, okay.
It's still amazing though. It's really good.
At least white women like each other there. That's cute.
Yeah, it's that's probably the most that's like, the support most, that a white woman has ever given another white woman ever in existence, like ever.
And maybe that's why it was so special, right?
Wow. We should have shown that to everybody before the election, honestly.
And it's like, bitch, watch Thelma and Louise so you can like each other. Anyways, I'll probably watch it because of what you just said.
Yeah,
I was like, wow. So Queen goes out like a fucking thug. Jada Pinkett and Frankie are still alive. And she's like, yo, I'm in this tunnel. There's a helicopter. There's no way out. Like, get out of the car. I'm going to run up out of here. I got all these guns that I got from Dr. Dre, who's also in this movie. Side note, Dr. Dre is in this movie selling them guns.
You always
have
to have a musical guest. Like, you have to.
I mean, Queen is a rapper, so it would make sense for Dr. Dre to, like, in the 90s. So it would make sense for Dr. Dre to also be in it. And it's Los Angeles, so lit as fuck. So she's like, fuck it, get out of this car. I'm going to distract them. You guys run away with the money. So Queen drives off while she's getting chased by the entire LAPD. And not only did she drive off and straight into like a police barricade, another thing that hasn't changed is police brutality. So they just fucking shoot at her. They don't even know if she has a gun at this point.
Fucking bullshit.
But sorry, they have killed police officers at this point. So you know how cops feel about that. Like,
oh, we definitely know here. Jesus.
Yeah. So she's already killed a couple police officers. So she's going off straight into these cops, and they just shoot mad rounds into her. I'm talking like Bonnie and Clyde rounds into her. And she's still not dead. She still gets out of the car and fucking shoots at all of them. Of course, she dies getting like Scarface style, like getting shot like 500 times. But that is the most gangster shit I've ever seen. And I wouldn't reshoot that or change that scene. This whole movie is amazing. So Queen dies. TT dies. And TT's kind of... she's the one with the kid in CPS. They took away from her. She dies earlier. And it's complete and utter bullshit because she's unarmed as well. She's the only one willing to, like, say, fuck this. Like, I don't want to kill anybody. I'm not down to kill or murder. Fuck this bank robbery. I just want my kid. And, of course, she dies first because she's peaceful, because she's put the gun down. Of course, she dies. So that's TT. That's Cleo. We're left with Frankie and fucking Jada. Frankie dies like also a fucking G, okay? They find Frankie like down the street, unarmed. Well, and she's armed. She's down the street. She's with her cash, but they find her. This evil-ass McGinnis cop dude finds her. Fuck him, by the way.
Oh, dude, he's like the funny janitor on Scrubs, though.
He's the funny doctor in Scrubs. Oh, he's the doctor.
Oh, he's a doctor? I thought janitor's a different dude.
He's the doctor. Right. Yeah, he's the asshole doctor in Scrubs.
They all look the same.
Sorry, guys. You guys look the same to us. Just him. Just men. They all look the same. White men. They look the same.
Man's not hot.
Your man's just not like hot. Just
like all the superheroes, Chris.
And me? I'm fucking... what is that? I hate the way he smiles. I hate the way he looks. And me? There's a meme. Anyways, he corners Frankie, and Frankie's like such a Capricorn. This whole movie, she's a fucking Capricorn. She's so bossy and in control. I love this bitch. Like, she knows exactly what she's doing. She knows exactly what she wants, and she's willing to die for it. And she does. So she's surrounded also by the entire LAPD, and then she turns around and pulls the gun on him and says, "Fuck you." And of course, they shoot her up. They light her up like it's Christmas. It's tragic. And the worst part is that Jada Pinkett is in a bus to Mexico looking like maybe 20 feet away. She's watching her friend get killed.
Yeah. Fuck that, dude.
And it's fucked up. And Jada, the most reasonable one out of everyone, is the only one that lives. She goes to Mexico, the land of beautiful things and beautiful people. We love you, Mexico. Mwah. And she goes there to be free. And I can't say that this movie promotes robbing banks because she lost all of the people she's ever loved in her entire life. Yeah, I'd be
like, fuck this money. I just lost my best friend. Like,
She lost her mom, her dad, her brother, and her best friends.
Don't need this money to like some good people and just like.
Yeah, she went off the grid. I think she was like in like, of course, you know, white people. When they think of Mexico, they think of like probably Cancun. She's in Cancun or Puerto Vallarta or Mérida.
Somewhere on the coast.
Or Yucatan, something like that, you know. She's on the beach because that's what white people think of Mexico, beaches. So she goes to a beach, she's chilling out, and it doesn't glorify bank robbing, but it.
It's their version of a happy ending.
I mean, they had to do that with the movie studios to actually fund this movie. They had to be like,
couple of them could have gone to jail. Like, come on.
Damn. They could have gone to jail, but I guess it's more dramatic and more emotionally involved if they die. But I didn't want to see black women die, especially after what they did to them. That's such a
cheap, like, fucking cop-out like that.
It's just such a fucked up thing to these amazing women. They got everything already taken away from them.
Nevertheless, a fucking classic and a great movie.
Fucking classic. I give this one also, like, 5 panduces. Like, honestly, this is one of my favorite movies now. And I'm going to watch it again over and over again. And I could recommend anyone and everyone. It only took me 26 years. Thank God I didn't get my hood card revoked. My hood card is alive.
It's about to expire. And she just, like, set it off and renewed it.
I rebooted my hood card. But, 5 panduces, get your life, prepare to be sad and feel a lot of emotions. And, yo, that music they're playing while Jada was getting it on with that Harvard guy, classic song. I didn't want to see them fuck, but then Jada's ass was, like, amazing and perfect and round. And then the song...
No cup of seasons for that ass.
5-star pan dulces. Like, I don't even understand. There's the rating system has been broken for Jada Pinkett. She's amazing. But yeah, that movie, go watch it, enjoy it, share it with people you love, appreciate each other.
Perfect for like a 90s feeling. Like, if you're feeling nostalgic,
if you're tired of Boys in the Hood, this one's better.
If you're like want something a little more serious on Friday, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Gary Gray directing this movie. So yeah, 5 pan dulces.
It's a dope ass movie. It's hard to follow up on it, but yeah. Klaus is fucking dope too. It's kind of the same situation, mm-hmm. not 100% the same situation with Klaus. Klaus came out basically this year. It's like it's a very new. No, it's this year. It's a very new series. It's like only on its first season. It got renewed for a second season, so you guys can look forward to that. And it's with Niecy Nash, so we can just end the podcast there. That's enough. Just go ahead and go watch it.
All right, let's cut it off. Let's cut it. It's good.
End of the episode, 100,000 pan dulces. No, I'm just kidding. and then we have Judy Reyes, who is kind of the person that I'm going to talk about for a little bit. She plays Quiet Anne, who is also a butch lesbian.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Super butch, super lesbian.
Yeah. I'm into it.
And of course we have Carrie. The difference here is, you know, they do have a group of like POC women, but they have like one white woman who's kind of crazy and like kind of like a con artist type of lady. You might recognize her from True Blood. She's fucking dope, the redhead. Mm-hmm. And of course they have I always fuck up her name, so I don't even want to fucking say it, but Karuchi.
Shout out to your restraining order, girl.
Yeah, so that bitch is in it and she's a little crazy. So basically, it's about like these women who they work at a nail salon, and some drug dealers kind of using the nail salon to launder their money. And they also kind of do like drops and kind of help with all kinds of illegal business, because of course they live in, you know, low income areas and they're trying to get ahead in life too. They're trying to be independent. They're trying to, like, you know, they have all kinds of shit going on for themselves too, and they're just trying to do better. Karuchi, oh my god, I fucked that up again. She's like, I don't know, she's trying to get in on their group, but she hasn't quite won over their favors. But basically in the first episode, Niecy Nash, she's kind of involved with one of the big drug dealer dudes, basically, who's the son of the main guy. His name is Uncle Daddy. and you might recognize him from Breaking Bad. He's like the DEO dude or whatever. What the fuck is his name?
The what?
The DEO from Breaking Bad.
Who's
the short chunky guy?
Oh, the bald white guy.
Yeah,
my brother-in-law. Yeah, I know.
I should have his. Yeah, his name is right here. It's Dean Norris, Uncle Daddy. So he's like the main guy, Uncle Daddy. Yeah. So his son is like the character that Niecy Nash's character is kind of hooking up with or whatever. I want to talk about him for like a good little minute here, because
break it down, girl.
He's like a crazy crime boss, you know, like super psychotic white guy that like goes ham and like does drugs and shit like that, and has, you know, you always have seen it in the past where like, oh, of course, like this dude has hoes and he has a wife and the wife is probably okay with him sleeping around, and he has sons that are exactly the same way. So he's kind of that guy, right? But fucking twist, this dude also openly has like a twink by his side who he adores.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So he
that's so cool.
He loves his wife, he loves his women, his strip
he's
club.
He's like bisexual.
Yeah, but he also has like, and they never like say that, right? They never say, oh, he's bi. Like, no, they don't give a damn. Like, he's sitting there talking business with his son, and he's like, man, I love my boy, and like slaps the dude's ass or whatever. And then his son is just like, I know you do, dad. I know you do. What? Yeah, like,
that's so cool. That's so normal.
It is. It's so like, normal. Fuck the heteronormative assumption about crime bosses. Like, this dude loves like
women and dudes,
and this one, well, just this one dude, really. He kind of like, he's like his main little dude. There's even a scene like that I just watched in one of the middle episodes of the season where he has because he's rich as fuck, right? So he has a bunch of, what do you call those, like people that dance in the water? Whatever the fuck you call, like, yeah, aqua, some shit.
Water acrobats.
Water, yeah, something
water
like that.
Water aerobics.
Yeah. whatever. Wait,
that's
they are
the thing that old ladies
yeah
do.
that's the exercise. But no, basically they're in there and they're performing, and it's like all these girls, like, you know, in pink, and they're like doing their stuff, and in the middle it's him in his like baby blue little suit, and he's like also in there like performing for him.
Wait, he's like a synchronized swimmer?
It's synchronized, yeah, like synchronized dancing in the water, and like he's the center of it all, you know what I mean? It's so cute though, like it threw me the fuck off.
Yeah. So funny.
But it's the thing is, like, you know, you'd think it'd be funny, but you look at it and it's just normal and it's just fine, and it is, of course. So I mean, like, yeah, I mean, he's rich as fuck, he can get whatever he wants, and he's openly queer, and it's dope. So I just wanted to like put that out there for those of you who are like wondering about 2017 crime bosses on television. So
they're bisexual and they like synchronized swimming.
Yeah. So I mean, the reason I started watching this, of course, was because of Judy Reyes's character, who is like from the Bronx. Well, Judy Reyes is from the Bronx, and she played a queer woman on One Day at a Time, which we talked about on episode 2.
Wait, the lady from Scrubs?
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, she was like on One Day at a Time for a couple episodes, and so this is the second time she's played queer that I know of. And so, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like, she's why I started watching it, but she doesn't get a whole lot of screen time. Like, the story's not always about her, it's about Niecy Nash and about all the girls in general. So, but still, she's like she's a part of this group. She's kind of like, you know, like Cleo from Set It Off. She's part of this group. She's openly accepted and loved by her friends. And she has like her girls that come around every now and again. But yeah, she's also kind of like the protection, you know what I mean? Like, she's the one like that's there, like she's looking out for them. And she's very quiet. Like, they literally call her Quiet Anne. And it's for a reason. She doesn't speak. When she speaks, it's because she has a damn good reason to. And it's only around people that she really, really trusts. And she's very well learned. And she's smart. And she's like,
well learned.
Awesome. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, so she has, of course, that Casanova vibe that they kind of give a lot of studs. But it suits her. I'll say that. Later, like, I'm telling you, whenever like she actually speaks, which is very rare, she'll reveal something just completely that will completely throw you off. So one of the things that she reveals is that she was married for several years, and that her and the husband shared a relationship with another woman. Then of course it got kind of crazy, and she had to like basically escape them and like never speak to them again or some shit like that.
Polyamory.
Yeah, but it was, yeah. So she just kind of implies that it was had a crazy ending with that relationship. And I love her character. She's amazing. But, you know, Niecy Nash is the main character. And I think it's worth watching just for her and her storyline, which is fucking dope. She's trying to get money because she wants to start a business, because she wants to obviously move up in life. But it's not just for her and her selfish needs. It's because she has a younger brother who's autistic and needs, like, a lot of attention. And, like, living in like, a dangerous area is horrible for him. And he needs somebody to be with him at all times or a lot of the time. But I love the representation that he provides for this, because this guy is highly, highly, highly intelligent. Like, he's so smart. He tries to help in every way he can. He's just autistic, and he needs, you know, he has special needs and stuff like that. But, you know, like, I feel like it's not a negative portrayal, like, at all. I still think, like, they do it accurately. They don't just keep him quiet or make him a total burden. Like, he's a good guy.
They respect,
you know,
the autistic community by writing a real,
and it's
character.
Great like representation, because like they always have, like, as far as I have seen, like, in the media, like, they always have autistic kids who are like white, and they're the ones who like go and get treatment and stuff like that. Like, no, the Black community totally has that too. Like, they take care of their own in which whatever way they can, which for Niecy Nash is trying to get this money by basically it's a little complicated.
What happens, so she
was supposed to get this like huge bonus for the crazy illegal shit that she has to do. So she was expecting this bonus that everybody gets, but she didn't even get half of it. She got not even about a third of it, of what she expected to get, which is not enough for her to get her own like beauty shop or whatever. It's not enough for her to do anything, and she's pissed off, and she keeps going to her boyfriend, which is Uncle Daddy's son. Or not really her boyfriend, but like her
mate,
her boy toy. So she keeps going to him, and like basically she ends up getting in a huge fight with him, and he's like cheating on her with Karuchi. And
Karuchi.
Yeah. So basically he's kind of violent. So he like was he's very, very violent. He's choking the shit out of Karuchi, and like,
oh, fuck.
Yeah, he's like basically about to kill her, and like she goes and she saves her. And then he starts, of course, he starts attacking her, or they get into an altercation. And then he's about to kill Niecy Nash, and then Kirishi comes back and shoots his ass.
Oh shit, this is so good. This is so good.
This is just the first episode.
What? Don't even.
This is just the first episode.
I cannot. Uh-huh.
So of course Niecy Nash, being kind of like the matriarch, she plays this like matriarchal type of role, like where she kind of like looks over everybody and she helps everybody out from in the at the shop. So she, whatever, she's like, okay, you gotta do this, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do that, we're gonna get through this. They like set out, they put the body in like a boat and they set it on fire and they ship it off.
Oh, like a Viking?
No, it's like a, it's like a little speedboat, because the kid, the guy's rich, so they're at, they're at like his mansion when they kill him.
Yeah, that's how they used to send out Vikings. They used to light their boat on fire and then send them out to sea. They put like a virgin on there. That's why I'm like,
oh no, they Viking. Didn't. They didn't do all that.
That's pretty cool though. That's lit.
No, yeah, it's literally lit. Yeah. So after that, like obviously Uncle Daddy's pissed. He's like, my son has been killed, and he's trying to figure out who. So kind of like the next few episodes kind of concentrate on that. Uncle Daddy's looking for them. They're trying to like cover their tracks, while at the same time trying to run the business that the dead dude was running, which is a struggle because he used to do all kinds of shit, and he had a certain kind of attitude and a certain kind of stomach to stomach certain horrible, violent things that Uncle Daddy does. So,
oh fuck.
Yeah, he. I mean, even
I'm
though
super
he,
interested,
even
now.
Though he's such a cute, like little queer crime boss, like he's still gruesome, right? He's still
a
crime boss.
He's still a crime boss.
Yeah. So. I love it. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't had a whole lot of time to like binge watch it like I normally do. I've been watching it really slowly, but Quiet Anne is, I think, even though I don't like, I wish she had a bigger part, she's still such an interesting person. It's just still great representation, and I love that she's there. And then I still think that it's great representation for women of color. Like, damn, it's a huge commentary on like the class system and like classism, and I don't know, it's pretty dope. So I highly recommend it, and thank you to the people that recommended it to me to watch.
I think Kalissa also recommended it to you, like, early on. Yeah, she recommended it to you.
Yeah, definitely, like, maybe, I would say maybe one cafecito per, just because, like, there's, like, so much going on.
Just to stay focused.
Yeah. But I do love the show. It's a great show.
Lit.
Bar motherfucking
I really
sure.
want to watch that now.
And I'm still, like, kind of working on watching the rest of it. Catching up for season 2, which should be coming pretty soon, I hope.
What network is it on?
It's fucking TNT or some shit.
It's on TNT?
I think. Let me make sure.
Okay. I mean, Niecy Nash is in it, so I want to watch it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on TNT. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it just aired over the summer. I mean, it's fairly new, and I fucking love it. And it's Niecy Nash, and I love her from Scream Queens, which I talked about before.
I'm down to watch that shit. That sounds really good. Claws.
I will say there's a nail salon, there's, right? Yeah, that's why it's called it Claws, because it's the nails. They do like really badass nails, guys.
You ever seen Beauty Shop? Queen Latifah is also in that movie.
I feel like I may have seen it. I just don't
movie,
remember.
Dude. Like a young, what's her name?
Cookie. Isn't that like the Cookie's in it. That was meant to be like the female version of Barbershop or whatever?
It was, but for me, I never watched Barbershop. I loved Beauty Shop. It was so good. Also about, you know, women of color.
Love women of color in the lead. Like Girls Trip. Come on, guys. Wait,
running businesses. Like Girls Trip also had Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you have to have the minute. I mean,
you don't have the minute, like, no one's going
to
watch
it. It's like technically, it's like the sequel that we wanted to imagine for Set It Off.
Yes. No, yeah. Except, like, if they made it, they would be like doing normal bougie shit. Like, let's go party in New Orleans, like Amaita did last
Oh
week.
My God. It was so much fun. It was pretty dope. I got fucked up. Go on.
She met real life Britannia.
Real life Britannia. I probably won't post that picture. I look really
Hell
bad.
No. Well, but yeah, you posted it. It's badass.
I posted it, and then like I like wrote all over my face. But
you don't even.
It's yeah.
She doesn't appreciate her own dreamy eyes, guys. Like she just scratches out her eyes all the time.
I derped my face. My face,
I mean, everyone's a little derpy out here. It's okay.
No, but it was great. Yeah, watching Britannia like two chicks who are in a real relationship. Like do lap dances and shit like that.
These chicks were wearing like the cheerleading outfits from Glee.
I spotted them, I swear to God, from all the way across the fucking club, and I was just like Ding, 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 ding.
Of course you spotted them, dude. You've been waiting your whole life to see them.
I didn't know that I was waiting my whole life. But they were really nice. My yeah. Stop it. I've been waiting for them. Stop it. It's true. They were awesome, dude. Like, honestly, New Orleans is like a nonstop party. I'm still recovering.
Yeah. I think you're still drunk from last night.
Yeah, never mind. That's just last night.
You're drunk from last night. It's all running together. It's all running together. It's okay. And then I'm drunk now, finally, on a podcast
again. It's a good thing we're almost all done here.
Yeah, because I'm, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, women of color in the lead, I guess, is the theme of this episode. If you love shit like this, let us know in a review on Apple Podcasts.
Recommend more.
We need that.
Yeah, recommend more movies for us to watch where women of color take back their power. Yeah, obviously,
we're taking recommendations. Fred Pepito takes my recommendations and I take yours. Yeah. So let's keep it going.
Yeah, let's keep it going. Hey! I just realized I'm kind of drunk. I was like, wait, what?
But yeah, and then of course, CYC Podcast on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. We're responsive. We add you. And yes. Stuff like that.
You can DM us. Quick and in a hurry, actually.
Well, I mean, yeah.
We do. Because if Mike doesn't on it, I'm on it.
Yeah. And then we come back and we look at each other being on it.
Yeah.
That sounded weird.
That did sound weird. Pause. No, not that. Pause. F that. Never a pause. But yeah. Anyways, again, we love y'all. Thanks for listening. If you made it through.
If you should have been gay characters, as always, write them in at cycpodcastmail@gmail.com or DM us.
Yeah, DM.
We're
super responsive in the DMs.
So. Yeah. At least one of us. We'll try to sign them because I realize like nobody knows who the fuck we're talking to.
I think that's better.
No, it's not.
I don't want them to know which one it is.
I want them to know that like I'm not bashing anybody or like for any relationship or whatever. I want them to know how I feel when I feel it.
By the way,
I'm Maite.
No. I want it to be a mystery. You can just figure it out.
Okay, so I'm going to sign mines and then the ones that aren't signed, it's her. She's like, fuck you, Maite.
Yeah, fuck you, Maite.
She's going to start signing hers with an M.
Yeah, I am. So now you'll never know who it is. So
that means you have to go to our personals, Maite Panda, on Twitter.
But, I mean, we tweet differently. You'll know. I use way more emojis than Maite.
Yeah, it's just like praying emoji, two hands emoji. And then it's me saying, haha, lol.
LOL, green heart. That's her every time.
I always do green. Me, like I'm one like, praying single
emoji,
green heart.
Hands up emoji, and heart.
10 hearts, a whipping gif, just like just like all kinds of shit.
It's
like,
ridiculous what I do.
And yeah. I'll just be over here like, oh, thank you so much.
Green heart.
Nothing else.
End of sentence. But yeah, thanks for staying. Yes,
if you're still around, like, honestly. Wow. Like, go and tweet us right now. I want to see who made it to the end. Tweet us, like, any ridiculous
emoji
that you think that Red Puppy that would say. And then, like, we'll know. We'll add you to our favorites list or some shit.
We will, yeah. But, if you listen to this, we love you still.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, if you do leave one of these reviews that we so desperately want and you want a sticker, we'll send you one. DM us.
Yeah, let us know. We'll send it to you.
Thank you for listening. I know that we suck, so thank you.
We're trash.
Yes.
But we love y'all. Bye.